Ready.
All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Friday, August 26th. I am Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And that was our fourth take of the opening, but we are all good now.
3, 2, 1.
Here we go. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to help you get started or keep going with FanDuel and DraftKings MLB. We are in full stride with MLB, NFL coming very, very soon. If you head over to the site now and go to DFSR.com/lab, L-A-B, you can get a free two-week trial to our projection systems for both MLB and NFL. That two-week trial will take you all the way up to NFL season, so you'll get a chance to road test that bad boy through week one.
And that trial's going down next week, by the way. It's going to be down to a one-week trial.
Down to a one-week trial.
Next week, so just so you know.
I did not know that, but now I do. That will take you through week one, and then after that, it's $29.95 a month after that, which includes all sports. A lot of sites like to do subscription packages based on being sports-specific. We're not like that. You are a member of DFSR. You get everything that we offer in terms of projections.
You're in for life.
You're in for life. We get a lot of things like that. Like, you know, if I don't, if I wanted to cancel, could I? No. This is a lifetime.
It's one of those things you cannot cancel. Just kidding, everyone. In case you're taking it seriously, we still want your money, and you can cancel.
Cancel anytime. All right, bud. If we're ever doing a conference on how to do sales pitches on a podcast, I feel like that one crushed it. We are here to talk a full Friday slate of baseball coming off a really good night on FanDuel for us, where we had Scherzer and a bunch of different bats, all cash games, GPPs, everything across the line cashed. Ran into a little Wainwright problem on DraftKings. It happens. I was a little, you know, it was in the chat room before that, before the lineup lock, sort of saying that was my concern with Wainwright, was that he was very cheap, but he is also Wainwright facing a Mets team. He actually got buzzed a little bit because of his the defense behind him. He lets up seven runs, but only two of them were earned. But mostly what it just did was extended his innings. He was a chalk play, but it was a problem. So anyway.
So a quick question on Scherzer, just because I was out last night.
Yes.
And couldn't monitor ownership percentages. Was he a chalk guy or?
No, not on FanDuel. Really? No, he was, Robbie Ray was the chalk. Scherzer was like 22%. People got scared off of Scherzer.
Yeah, we actually knew Robbie Ray would be in that discussion, but hopefully you listened to the podcast yesterday and heard some Scherzer love, because that was an incredible start.
What was interesting, as I know this is not daily for today, but one thing about that was by the end of it, FanDuel, Robbie Ray, for our lineups, you know, we pump out optimal lineups through our projection system, and you can calculate up to 25 on the page. Right at lineup lock, Robbie Ray was in the third lineup, so it was really close. It was Scherzer, and then Ray. I ended up hedging between them, ran two of each, and went 75% on those in cash games. But the top two lineups was Scherzer crush. Scherzer's an interesting guy, and I'm sure this is dumb fan speak, but I'm going to channel it because I sometimes think like a fan also. Sometimes with a guy like Scherzer, you can just kind of tell how he's going early, and when he just came out and pounded the strike zone and wasn't really missing any spots in the first inning. And I started thinking, this could be a Scherzer game, because it's when he runs into running long counts early that it seems to get him in trouble. You could probably say that about any pitcher. But he
can just look absolutely unhittable when his stuff is moving. And
that's how he looked.
His tempo is fast. Yep. And yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he was, and it was just like, it was strike one, strike two, out pitch, strike three, you know, or pop up, weak ground ball. It just really looked like he had it rolling last night. And he basically shuts down the Orioles. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up the ownership percentage, because it's one of those things where you can just get scared off these top-end pitchers by having them be in the forefront of your mind when things go bad. But Scherzer, it was a great spot. He crushed it. Optimal lineups crushed across the board. Now, we are
on. Worth looking at, you know, the Robbie Ray situation yesterday, too. I mean, we talked about yesterday, one of the main concerns on Ray was going to be the big disparity in money line. And, you know, with Arizona being a bad team, how Ray was going to be more at risk of just not getting the wins, even when he pitches reasonably well. Now, yesterday, he had 10 base runners in 5 innings. I'm not sure you can say he pitched reasonably well. Only gave up the 2 earned runs, but, you know, the Diamondbacks just never got anything going while he was out there. And, you know, missing out on those 12 points was a huge deal.
Yeah, that was the difference of that fourth lineup getting in there. His money line went up to about minus 180 by the time it was on. And then I'm pretty sure there was like a reverse line on that too with the Braves. But anyway, let's move into.
I also gave you Matt Whistler on DraftKings yesterday. Just saying, 4,000.
Yeah, 4,000. I was actually going to mention he goes like 8 innings or something like that. All right, we're 5 minutes in. We got to get to what's going on today here because we're doing a football podcast.
But where's the fire? You know.
Well, the fire is that we are also doing another football podcast after this. And my day is not made up of a limited time, though I know yours is because you don't really have much going on. Let's talk about Friday baseball. Full slate going here. Some interesting pitching options, and I say interesting in that I'm just not that excited about them. Where can we start with pitcher today? Like yesterday, we kind of just rolled out Scherzer right away and then gave a bunch of option Bs and Cs. This one doesn't strike me the same way, but maybe it's a little different for you.
No, not really. I mean, of the most expensive guys, they all have some real question marks today. You know, I'll just go down the salaries on FanDuel just to paint a little bit of a picture here. But you've got Sale and Hernandez at the top, and they're facing each other. So not fantastic for either's win potential. They're also in Chicago in a less than amazing park. I will say that both of them have the lowest implied runs allowed on the day. So I guess you can get some safety in that department if you have some sort of, you know, gut feeling on how that game's going to break. Maybe you grab one. I will say, I guess if I had to choose one in that game, I'd probably go Sale. You know, being a lefty with huge K upside, Hernandez, still, I'd say he's in the coming back off injury category, even though he was quite a bit better last time than he had been. I like Sale, especially again with the lefties or the lefty heavy Seattle lineup. So, it's hard to get the win from either of those, I would think, and that's, you kind of want a little bit more win safety on a typical night. So
just the one thing about Seattle and the lefty heavy lineup, they're a lefty heavy lineup in that all their good hitters are lefties, but they will play righties against him. But those righties are like Guillermo Heredia, Sean O'Malley, it's not righties that scare you. They will play matchups, but
the lefties that you have a big drop off on, Cano and Seager.
Yeah, that right.
You know, you're giving a lot back with both of those guys by switching over to especially a lefty with K upside. So
yeah, Cruz in the middle of the lineup scares you, but I'm totally with you. They play the matchups, but those guys just aren't very good. So it doesn't worry me. I get mostly worried about the park there. It's just such a bad park to pitch in. After those two guys, we have some decent money line pitchers going today, which I think we can maybe consider, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on these guys. One, we have Verlander against the Angels. He's a pretty big favorite. Gio against the Rockies, another big favorite. There's some other guys like Phelps in there coming in. Who can we look at in terms of, because I think I'm with you in that in Sale and Hernandez just aren't that safe. But of that next group I gave, do any of those guys kind of jump out to the top to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, going down, because I think a lot of people are going to look at Verlander, for instance, especially after a reasonable start against Boston, and try to prioritize him. And I think that's okay, but I think it's only okay, just because the Angels, while they're not spectacular in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching, they're not terrible, and they also just never strike out. That 15.8% K percentage is the lowest in the league, I think, by 3 full percentage points or something. So that's just not an area you want to go. I mean, oftentimes we talk about K percentage in terms of upside, but there is a real safety concern as well if you're going to get, you know, 16 or 20% less strikeouts in a given game. That's a real worry. So for me, I would rather not play Verlander. As we kind of go down board there, I mean, it might sound crazy just because he's sort of not what you picture as a prototypical starter, but David Phelps has been really good in the starter's role in Miami, and he's still very, very cheap. He's 7,000 on FanDuel. He's posting better than a K per nine, even as a starter, which is really something, and it looks like the Marlins are willing to stretch him out a little bit.
I mean,
he's not
key.
Not as young as a lot of people might think. He's 29 years old, so he's not one of these guys that they're going to protect necessarily. So against a, you know, San Diego in a good hitters or a good pitcher's park, I'm definitely intrigued by him for all formats.
Yeah, the key for him is the pitch counts and where he's gone. He went, you know, 55 in his first basically start, then 70, but then 90, basically 90, 90, 96. And those pitch counts are real. They're not, at this point, you can basically pencil him in for that like mid 90s pitch count as long as he's got it rolling. It's the perfect matchup. He probably actually ends up being the cash game play, I suspect, because it'll allow you, I mean, 7,000 on FanDuel. We don't usually go into this salary range for a cash game pitcher, mostly because you don't need to, because there's almost never is there a pitcher in this price range that has anything close to the peripherals and money line that you and matchup. Well, I mean, money line's applied there, but that you would want from a quote unquote safe pitcher. But Phelps is one of those cases where the price has not come up enough to reflect his basically new opportunity. It's so weird to have a pitcher get new opportunity. because as you really more think about that with hitters or just really just other sports, you know, in terms of just, oh, this guy's
this guy's starting in basketball now.
Yeah. This guy's the new running back. But the, for a pitcher to have all of a sudden a new opportunity with a price that hasn't reflected it, that's probably going to end up being the cash. I suspect actually he's just probably the cash game play too. I mean, excuse me, the chalk play on FanDuel, where I don't know why you'd probably get away from that price.
Yeah, I don't either. I think he's terrific. I mean, you also mentioned Gonzalez. I think Gio, you know, it's always very tempting to get guys facing the Rockies away from Coors. Mm-hmm. You just can't look at their season long stats to try to take any meaningful interpretation of them, given that they play half their games in Coors. But they do strike out quite a bit against left-handed pitching, top 10 in the league there, and obviously getting out of Coors is a significant problem for them. And also they're letting someone pitch called Jeff Hoffman, who, you know, just sounds like a guy who works in accounting at your local firm or whatever, not a guy who's pitching in a major league roster. So I wouldn't be, he let up 6 runs in his first start.
Do you want to add a name multiplier to Jeff Hoffman today?
I think so. I mean, wouldn't you be pretty surprised if 5 years from now you're having a Cy Young conversation and the guy's name is Jeff Hoffman?
Yeah, I guess it's like not unique enough. Yeah, interesting.
It's just totally generic. It's a guy. It's like when you're playing like Dynasty mode in a online or a Major League Baseball video game, and they just like put in the generic guys to like fill out your bullpen. Jeff Hoffman is exactly the guy who'd be there. So.
The thing with the Rockies too is, you know, a majority of their talent, I guess you would say, comes from the lefties in their lineup, when Cargo, Dahl, Blackman. Although I think Blackman's pretty overrated. But, you know, really after Arenado, there isn't much in the way of righties that worry you from that lineup. And I think that's probably the key with Gio. The other thing with Gio is on DraftKings, he's 6,100. And that is just a mistake. I don't really have any other way to put it. Even an average pitcher in a situation like him comes out to the top at 6,100. Gio is an above average pitcher, so I just don't. He's basically a must play at 6,100. I think in cash games, why spend, you know, I don't know, 50% or more salary, which is crazy. I mean, 50% more salary for some of these other guys that are in around the same point expectation. It's just a no brainer. I think 8,700 for Phelps on DraftKings, 6,100 for Gio. You're, you know, 15K total for your pitchers in really, really good situations, and now you're just rostering every single good bat.
Yeah, and I mean, 7,000 for Phelps on FanDuel is, FanDuel rarely has those huge, you know, this is simply wrong sort of prices, and that certainly appears that way there. So yeah, I do think it's a day where you really just, I don't know, going expensive a pitcher might be just not what you want to be doing.
I'm actually glad that the more expensive pitchers just have enough question marks around them. Like, for instance, if this was yesterday and we had Scherzer in this situation plus these other guys, I'd probably hemming and hawing about it a little bit more. But not having that situation, and it just, I think it just makes the decisions pretty easy right now. And this is 9:30 a.m., so obviously things can change. But yeah, this looks pretty almost cut and dry to me at this point. After those two guys, I know. Look at that, cut and dry for me at 9:30 a.m. Something will change though, I'm sure. But any other guys on this from an upside point of view, if you wanted to just roster maybe like for a tournament play? I mean, Kluber's going today in Texas. You have Liriano.
Kluber's a guy I was going to call attention to. I mean, pitching in Texas, you never really want to talk about anything safe pitching in Texas, but nice matchup against Martin Perez. The Indians are favored. Kluber obviously has the electric K upside. People will be more off him probably, given that he's heading out to Texas there. I've already hit this, but both Sale and Hernandez are both huge upside guys to me that people might, because I think people often think about this incorrectly when it comes to big tournaments, where if you're going to win a big tournament, your starting pitcher basically needs to win anyway. And even if it's pretty unlikely for your pitcher to win in a given day, with essentially a pick'em between Seattle and Chicago, it's not like it's implausible for either of those guys to get the wins. So you kind of have to look at the win as just a binary for big tournaments. You don't look at it as X percentage. You need to win any pitcher can get a win on a given day. So both of those guys look like really, really good plays to me. And just because we're also lacking, I mean, outside of Phelps, which frankly might be the best GPP play as well. I don't know. We're really lacking that top tier, you know, cheap, high upside guy, right? Like at the bottom end is a lot of really unexciting guys like Pat Dean and Adam Morgan and Joel De La Cruz and
stuff.
Well,
we're going to get to those guys in a minute when we talk about the hitters.
You can't touch any of those guys. So, I think that it's, you know, it kind of starts and stops. You know, you go Phelps, skip a few, then up into the upper tier for me.
That's interesting what you said about, you know, Phelps might just be the best tournament play also. It's probably just true. We probably spent almost too much time on just how mispriced he is here, but it just stands to reason that at 7,000, it's going to be hard for anyone to hit the same amount of points per dollar upside at all, based on what you know
course,
his with him his matchup. So I could see him just being a chalk tournament play as well, and it being correct. But I'm with
you.
I think so too.
I think another guy I'm looking at possibly is Bartolo Colon for big tournaments.
Oh.
I mean, nice matchup against Philly, and you know has had a few decent upside games. I mean, it's not an exciting name to roster, but if you're just looking for flat out separation on a day where a lot of pitchers have a lot of question marks, I don't know.
Yeah, a guy like that strikes me like that is Liriano, where he has a nice win expectation because Toronto is heavily favored in this game. He does have K stuff. The Twins will strike out in that lineup, but there's downside for him obviously too. But he's a guy that can, not often does he do this, but he has the ability to get into the double digit in terms of Ks. And so again, not likely to do it, but has the ability. So I could see him coming cheap. And he's like a guy where if you think Phelps is going to be around the chalk play at 7,000, he makes a pretty even swap where you can keep most of your bats the same and just get separation off of that. Far less people will be rostering Liriano today than Phelps. And, you know, there's around the same K stuff, but obviously Liriano with much more downside. Let's move over to the hitters today. If we're talking mostly going cheap at pitcher, which seems to have been the theme early, are we in a situation now where are we just totally looking to load up on bats here and kind of call it a day? There's some teams in really, really good spots here.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, like you said, it's going to be not a question of trying to find the good stacks. It's going to be trying to sift and pick which one is best. I mean, there are a lot of crooked numbers on these and this one big slate we have here. I mean, how many games are there with a 9 total or more? It's like
most of them.
6-7 game, right?
Yeah.
So many. I mean, I'm looking at Toronto. I mean, this is kind of going to be obvious and a super, super chalk one. And the only reason I said where to begin is because there's so many options. Toronto up against Pat Dean, another generic video game guy who is just simply awful. And he also happens to be the wrong hand against Toronto, too, so he gets double dinged on that.
Right.
Obviously, the known quantities in that game are going to be pretty obvious. You can grab Encarnacion and Donaldson on the top end, and really, again, anyone who bats around them.
Yeah, Bautista.
Tulowitzki. Bautista's back. Yeah.
And he's hitting leadoff because Toronto's smart, unlike some other teams. So
right. So the game is going to be, I mean, the really great thing if you can roster Phelps on FanDuel is you just play all those Toronto guys.
Yep.
That is really hard to imagine not winning at that point.
Right. That's a situation where, I mean, obviously, I think I said this yesterday with Scherzer, it's going the other way in this situation. I know hitters are obviously have more variance, so it's although I'm not even positive about that because of the win being so important. But if you're just getting the team with the highest over plus the pitcher who basically has the highest like raw points expectation or really damn close at a price that's significantly less, I just don't know why you wouldn't play a little more tonight, right? Like a little more of your bankroll because it just looks.
Doug is not a financial advisor, and what he says doesn't necessarily.
Well, okay, I'll speak for myself, and I will.
Use a DFSR.
I definitely will because this is just one of those again dream situations where you get
all
the best bats and the best pitcher maybe, and so or the pitcher in the best situation. So, those Toronto bats look awesome, and I don't think the system's
going to.
Well,
the optimal lineups just wind up looking amazing, especially on FanDuel when you can put a guy with 7,000 in there because you're like, okay, so I've got an absolute all-star team is my hitters. That's a good start.
Right.
And then Phelps has arguably as much just raw points upside as anyone going at 7,000. So
it's the same on DraftKings too. Like Bautista's totally mispriced. If he's hitting leadoff against a lefty at 4,000 on DraftKings, that's a lock and load.
A joke.
Yeah, no, and same with the 3,600 on FanDuel. Like those prices are stupid for a guy like him with his both his safety in terms of how much he gets on base and then just the overall upside he has. Those prices are must. I would call them must plays for me.
I'm cutting to the guy who sets the FanDuel prices. Probably some intern sitting there listening to this podcast, listening to his hero, Doug Norrie, talk, and just cringing and feeling really, really down on himself, Doug.
And while if that person's listening, let's fix the Tyler Christopher Austin thing for the Yankees, too. If there's any FanDuel employee listening to this podcast right now, we need to clear up some of these naming situations, because when the FanDuel IDs are correct, we still can't sort some of this out. Anyway.
Stone Cold Broken, this is just in a different category because he's a one-off, but I was looking at his name in the optimal lineup. Is that Jose Altuve?
Yeah.
We've never talked about him when I've been on the podcast, but what is going on with his line this season? 361, 20 homers, 27 steals. Jesus, that's just not a guy who's been on my radar very much because I just haven't rostered him a ton in daily fantasy, but wow.
Even with Smiley being like an okay-ish lefty, Altuve is so good against lefties, he's just impossible to strike out. And so for lefties, they just are such a dog. At 3,800 on FanDuel, again, his price has really, really come down over the short term. I don't know if it's because...
And that's why we haven't played him, because he's been so expensive.
Exactly.
What's a guy got to do? He's got like an 1,100 OPS against lefties this season.
Right.
And 5-6, it's 20 home runs. Like, I'll never understand it.
He has scored a fantasy point at a minimum of... he's scored a point in like... something like 19 of his last 20 games. That's just getting on the board. After that, he's gone. He's been good anyway. So this is a easy cash gameplay. This is the easy part of today's lineup making. When you get, and I will keep saying, I'll probably say it at least one more time before the end of this podcast, but when you just roster Phelps, it's just get the best guy time, right? Like, just, oh, I'll take all the best players at all the other positions, and Altuve
where you just go from tab to tab in FanDuel, and you're like, most expensive, next, most expensive.
It's not a perfect science, but it's pretty darn close. So we have the Toronto. I think a lot of those Houston bats are in fine shape against Smiley today. He's not a pitcher that really totally worries me, all things considered. After those, you know, after Toronto and him, what are some other teams that we can look at here?
Sure. So, I mean, we mentioned Washington earlier. The lefties there against Jeff Hoffman, so obviously Harper and Daniel Murphy are both terrific plays. You can go down a little further. I mean, frankly, either side of the Orioles-Yankees game looks fine, like Gallardo and someone called Luis Cesa.
Cesa, yep.
So, frankly, the list just goes on and on and on here.
You get Goldschmidt against a lefty in Chase and Brandon Finnegan. I mean, this is one of those situations where you are... There's so many hitters. Yeah.
I mean, this is definitely one of those days. I mentioned it yesterday where if you want to split slates and run multiple slates, you can wind up being in fairly good shape. I think unfortunately Phelps and Gio are both in that early slate, but if you can find pitchers you're comfortable with a little later on, like maybe you just do grab one half of that Felix and Chris Sale game. Cause on that slate, you can also grab the Rangers, you know, like the Indians against Martin Perez.
Right.
You can grab the Red Sox against Ian Kennedy. Ian Kennedy's reasonable pitcher, but leaves the ball up in the zone, getting out of Kansas City and into Boston. All those great righty crushers out in Boston. Like, there's just a lot. There's too much to choose from. We'll never be able to name it all.
I want you to name them all.
Okay, Pittsburgh against Milwaukee.
But okay, yeah. So
name after name.
This is it's a crazy day. I think this is a day where we always, you know, pump tout our system. Obviously, that's the goal. That's our business model is selling the system. So we just have to be able to.
Appreciate your honesty, dude. You're nothing if not honest.
I'm very honest. I think I'm honest when we're right, and I'm honest when we're wrong. And I think that's why we've been in business as long as we have. But this is a situation where I think you just need to. You need to have some kind of system so you can understand who the plays are, because they're all ultimately, yeah, you cannot all, even with Phelps or even with Gio and Phelps and DraftKings, you can't, we joked about it, but you really can't roster all of the most expensive guys, although it's really of any day, this is probably the day. There are a couple other cheaper options that are going to probably float to the surface that you'll need to just maybe just slot in there so you can grab those highest highest raw points guys. A couple guys that strike me like that. If Tommy Pham can hit to the top of the lineup today with the Cardinals, mm-hmm. it's all. I think we are like on, you know, wash, rinse, repeat here with the Cardinals in terms of our breakdown of them. But they're always a team that juggles their lineup around. He could be at the top. Jericho could be at the top too. It's hard to know exactly what they're going to do. But if Pham was up there, he makes for a really nice play against the lefty. The other guy like that is Ricky Weeks. So the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. Diamondbacks are, I mean, I've spent not as much time as I spent this season talking about Bryce Harper, but I'm pretty darn close when it comes to the Diamondbacks and their inability to make good lineups. This is already, I think, the third time in the podcast this week I've talked about it, and I know I just get in there.
Yeah, I'm already bored.
What's that?
I'm already bored.
This is for the first time listeners. But one thing they do actually do pretty well, because they're dumb, is, and they have a lot of these guys, is they will stack a lot of righty hitters against lefties. They do the same thing against righty pitchers, and that's where they make their mistakes, but they're just not afforded the mistakes because they have so many righties. Weeks is a guy that I could see hitting cleanup. He's hit cleanup in the past when they put lefties on the mound, and he's pretty darn cheap on FanDuel. I think he's like under 3K. Let me just look real quick. Yeah, 2,300, right? So he's a guy where if you are just grabbing all those more expensive Toronto bats, he's the perfect guy to just slide in and get phenomenal expectation on a guy for almost no cost. And you probably will just need a guy or two like that so you can just roster all the other big boys.
Yeah, that's fair. I was also looking at catcher on DraftKings in particular and noticed some pretty good spots there. So like Buster Posey's price is probably broken, $3,800
yep.
Against Joel De La Cruz, who, you know, if you're not familiar with De La Cruz, you don't just want to look at the righty-righty thing here with Posey, understanding that Posey obviously is a lot better against left-handed pitching, but 44 innings pitches here, 24 strikeouts against 16 walks, 0-6 if you care about that. Never makes it out of the fifth inning. The guy is just a stone-cold bum. No offense again to Joel De La Cruz, he just is. Just the exact guy you want to be facing if you're a hitter of any-handedness in the major leagues.
Stone-cold bum is a term that I really, really, really like.
That's just what he is. Can't come up with any other way to describe it. So I think you can consider Posey, frankly, on either site, although you're paying a little bit more of a relative premium on FanDuel, but still very affordable at $3,300. Another guy's Wilson Ramos. Wilson Ramos has been a little quieter recently, but the safety you can get out of him at the catcher position is pretty unusual. I mean, guy who bats 316, also the 19 home runs. Again, understanding that it's been a hard couple weeks for him, but with no real injury concern, I don't know why. I mean, he frequently bats five times in a game. Like,
yep.
That at a catcher position is going to be a lot for you. And you don't want to – baseball actually is a sport where you do want to catch a falling knife and just say, like, he just has to bounce back at some point unless he's injured. So I think that's where it's headed with him.
The other guys that I could see getting in there on the cheaper end of things, if they were able to move up the lineup here, would be Darnell and Flores against Adam Morgan. So both of those guys, you know, the Mets have had their issues.
Wilmer Flores, you're talking about?
Yeah, Wilmer Flores, right. Darnell is 2,100 on FanDuel. Our system's just never seen a lineup that it didn't want to put Darnell in. Like, we've been very, very bullish on him. But there's a chance that, and they've done this a couple times, where they will move him up to the fifth or sixth slot against a lefty. And that would be just almost a lock and load play for me at 2,100, because a lot of those catchers you mentioned on FanDuel all fall in that just north of 3,000 range, like Martin, Posey, Victor Martinez, Ramos, and Gary Sanchez, who's been just like the second coming of Babe Ruth or whatever since he got called up. But all of those guys are good raw points plays, but I'm just not sure. Well, one, there's almost no separation on them in terms of just in terms of their expectation. But Darnell, if you were to hit even like in the sixth spot against Adam Morgan, I'd be willing to just grab him on the very, very, very cheap. I'm with you on DraftKings though, where a lot of those guys are just like, you know, that price on Posey and Ramos. You don't need to sort of play Darnell in that spot because those guys are so cheap. But on FanDuel, the pricing is a little closer on the actual good catcher bats in that price range.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think another worthwhile exercise, because a lot of times people will see someone like Darnell and, you know, the initial feeling is like, oh, I don't want this guy in my cash game lineup when they see the 250 average and the fact that he bats down the lineup and all that stuff. But when the problem that people always run into is they're like, all right, move up to Posey. Now I just need to save $1,100 somewhere else.
Right. Okay.
So then they go in. But today, the higher end options at all the other positions are so excellent that there's really a pretty dramatic drop off. If you do want to go from say Darno to Posey and you need to save 1200. Like at first base, I mean, you can make a case from going from Encarnacion down to like, I don't know, Joey Votto or something, mm-hmm. but you've only saved 700. So, well, now you need to go and take another guy out of your lineup. Because what you don't want to do is go in there and go down to like, you know, who's even in the 3000 range, Justin Smoke or, you know, right. Mike Napoli. I don't know. What are you doing if you're making a move like that?
Well, that's what I call, and I'll refer to that usually as like a cascading mistake, where
yeah, exactly.
Where if you're not using a system and you're just trying to plug in names, and I get why people do that. Like people, I think more than any other sport, just try to plug in like the names that they like in a lineup, and then right. you try to fiddle around until things fit. But that is a classic example of, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul in your lineup because you don't want to roster Darno. We're using him as the example, but this can really happen anywhere in the lineup where
absolutely.
Where you've made one mistake by paying too much for the catcher position, but now you've subsequently also made two other mistakes by mm-hmm. taking down your just raw point expectation in other spots just to fit it. So it really, really, really cascades down your lineup. And that's why, again, it's just best to use projection systems that are able to suss most of this out, right? Not all of it.
Yeah, well, and it's not even the projection system. It's the optimization piece that's really the
correct.
Key.
Right? Yeah,
because
right.
it's like the thing about going from Posey to Darno is like, yes, you're obviously giving up a lot of safety there. No question about it. But you can also argue that you're giving up significant safety from getting away from the Blue Jays bats today. At least certainly Vegas seems to think so, right? So mm-hmm. if you're going from something other than four Blue Jays and probably those four right-handed Blue Jays that are going to bat in the top five slots in the lineup, you're really making a run. I mean, again, going away from Jose Altuve, if you play anyone besides Altuve at second base, you're unquestionably giving up a ton of upside or a ton of safety. And it, particularly if you're going to try and save $1,200 there, like you're going to go down to Brandon Phillips, Joe Panik, like now are you feeling better? And so I'd say save the trouble. If you can get a cheap catcher and keep all those other guys, great. But if another, you know, really tremendous cheap option pops up at another position, you know, don't let me stop you. But I just love how it all shakes out with Darno in there. So if he is batting in that fifth slot, to your point, I think he's a great play.
Yeah, and people are bringing this up in chat a lot where they just say, you know, so-and-so, why? Why is this person in the lineup? And I'll say, you just can't make the decision in a vacuum, right? These aren't – each position isn't – like we're not just like picking the best guy salary independent at each position.
Yeah, it's not a season-long league.
No, right.
If you're playing in a season-long league today, play Posey over Darno, you know.
Right. So anyway, I think that pretty much breaks it down where we're going today. Like we said, you know, Phelps at pitcher, maybe Phelps and Gio on DraftKings. Take a look at some of those higher price guys, but maybe just more as GPP upside guys rather than safety because the win expectation isn't there for them. And then, you know, we've said just roster some of the most expensive bats today, Toronto, some Houston guys, Harper, guys like that. And I think you're good to go. Make sure you're checking in on batting lineups as the day goes down because we're going to want to grab maybe a cheap guy here or there just to fill in the rest of the rosters. All right, buddy. We're off to do an NFL podcast after this. So I personally am going to talk to you in a minute. For everyone else that's listening to the baseball podcast, we'll talk to you again on Monday. We're dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com. If you like typing just less keystrokes into your web browser, you grab a, for right now.
Paid good money for that four-letter domain, so use it.
We really did, actually. I couldn't believe it. The we have a free two-week trial that takes you up and through the first week of NFL right now. If you go to dfsr.com/lab, that will get you a free two-week trial. And $29.95 a month after that, that covers NFL and MLB projections. You'll also get a chance to take a look at our awesome new player lab for NFL that really has all the filters that you're going to need to build cash and GPP lineups for football once we get started with that. And I think that's it for us, buddy. I'll talk to you again on Monday.
Adios, man.